Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to Take Pride in Retirement, the podcast dedicated to helping members of the LGBTQ plus community protect and grow their hard-earned money. Get set for a show full of education and insights with your host and advisor, Matt McClure. We recognize every family is unique. The goal of the show is to help you achieve financial freedom so you and your loved ones can have the retirement you've always dreamed of. A retirement you can take pride in, no matter who you are, where you're from, or who you love. So now, let's start the show. Here's Matt McClure.
Hello and welcome once again to Take Pride in Retirement. I'm Matt McClure, your host, your pal, your buddy, your advisor, your friend, all of the things. I really do appreciate you being a part of the show this time around. And each and every time, you know, we've done several of these episodes now, getting close to having done 20 of them. And I enjoy it every time. And I really do hope that you are getting something out of the show. Got a guest actually that's going to be a part of things a little bit later on today. And I will reveal that when the time is right. It has to do with caregiving this time around, actually, and the importance of taking time for yourself and for the person, of course, that you are caring for when you're a caregiver. So many people in the LGBTQ plus community, we end up being caregivers to our loved ones. And that has to do with several different circumstances that tend to be generally true for our community. So that is going to be a great, great thing to highlight and discuss. And hopefully you learn something from that. Also, hopefully you learn something as we talk about maximizing your spending power in retirement. There's a concept that I really like to share with people who are clients or prospective clients about the U curve. The U-shaped curve that is our retirement spending. So if you imagine, if you are watching the video, you don't have to imagine. If you are on, if you are just listening to the podcast or otherwise joining me, maybe got the video playing in the background and you're not looking at the screen, something like that. Picture a U, all right? Kind of a wide U-shape. And that is your retirement spending, right? You spend a lot early in retirement, not so much in the middle of retirement. Toward the end, you spend more. I'll go through that and tell you how you can plan better for retirement to make sure that you have the funds, you have the money, you have the wherewithal to be able to pay for all of those different stages of your retirement years. All right. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some good news, actually, for Medicare and Social Security and a lot more as we go on through here. Also wanted to thank you, of course, as I do every time when we start out, for joining me, for spending time, like the fact that you are taking time out of your day to spend listening to me talk about money, talk about retirement, talk about the importance of it specifically for the LGBTQ plus community. And everybody, really, the vast majority of this stuff is applicable to everybody. But I want to focus, of course, on LGBTQ plus folks. It is Take Pride in Retirement, after all, and it's Pride Month. So happy Pride Month. I've got a special quote of the week coming up to celebrate Pride Month momentarily as well. Happy, happy Pride to everyone out there. Of course, subscribe to the podcast. Please do that. Leave us a nice rating. Spread the word to all of your friends. Get the podcast growing here. We would really, really appreciate that, because it's all about financial education and it's all about helping LGBTQ plus folks and the you know, nation at large get prepared for retirement. Because, you know, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter who you love, how you identify, any of that stuff, any of the things, any of the divisions we like to put between ourselves, no matter any of that, you deserve a retirement that you can take pride in. And the retirement that you deserve is what I want to help you achieve, right? We can do that together. And starting to listen to the show is that first step So I'll tell you how you can take the next step as we go along as well. Of course, you can go to the YouTube channel getting more and more active by the day. Just go to YouTube, search for Take Pride in Retirement. It'll pop right up. And we've got highlights from the show and some special content there for you to share as well. Also, wanted to just remind you, you can go to the website. It's takeprideinretirement.com. That site, once again, takeprideinretirement.com. Or if you'd like to reach out for any reason whatsoever, you can do it. It's 855-246-9211. That is the phone number, of course, 855-246-9211. All right, we got a lot to get to here, but first, let's get into our conversation with some inspiration, shall we? It's our quote of the week.
And now for some financial wisdom. It's time for the quote of the week.
And this quote comes from someone who has been a very inspirational figure of late in the LGBTQ plus community, Megan Rapinoe, who is a wonderful soccer player, of course, member of the women's U.S. Olympic team, and just an all around just wonderful example of someone who really just puts their nose to the grindstone, lets the work speak for itself in a lot of ways, but also takes time and takes the opportunity to speak out for LGBTQ plus folks when she has the chance. And so Megan Rapinoe says this: you don't have to change the world yourself. And frankly, no one is able to do that, but you can do something, and you should feel the weight of responsibility to do something. You can't change the whole world yourself, but you can do something. And that's, it goes so well in hand with what I say all the time, which is control the things that you can control, right? So like, you're not able to change the entire world. Like, you know, just kind of relating it to financial planning for a second, you don't have control over the rate of taxes that you pay at the federal level or, you know, something like that. You can make more money, you can make less money, and then your tax rate may go up or down because you fall into a different bracket, right? Just as an illustration. You can, of course, use tax planning and all of that to sort of, you know, control the things that you can control on a granular individual level. But as far as like the overall tax brackets and tax rates and all of that stuff, like, they are what they are. They're decided by Congress, and that it takes literally an act of Congress to change. You and I, we are not Congress. We can vote for people and have an indirect impact on it and things like that. But we don't have direct control over something like that. What we do have control over are the things that we can control. As I mentioned, the tax planning that goes in to controlling the types of accounts that we put money into. If you put money into a Roth, if you put money into a life insurance policy that's properly structured, you can get a good investment return on that investment, a good return on that investment, I should say. And what you can also do is then have tax-free income in retirement as a result of investing in those two types of tax-free investments that are really the only two kinds that are available to Americans today. So that is sort of relating that quote to financial planning. But at the same time, it's so true in our everyday lives as well. You can have, you know, an impact on your sphere of influence, and then the ripple effect of that can be something that you never really know how much impact is out there that you have affected, how many people you've affected, how many situations you've affected because of the actions that you take. The important thing is that you take action. And the important thing is that you speak out. The important thing is that you stand up for yourself, your loved ones, the LGBTQ plus community, all of our brothers and sisters in it, because we are all in this life together. And, you know, if we don't stand up for each other, there are not a lot of people outside the community who will, if we don't stand up for ourselves and each other, right? So there are, of course, more people today than there have been, thankfully, historically speaking. But stand up for yourselves and stand up for each other. And that's what I kind of, a little paraphrase of what I always say to end the show, is take pride in yourselves and take care of each other. And that's really my wish for you. And that's one of the things that I hope to do through this show, is take care of my community to a large extent, because it's a community, as I say all the time, that's given me so much. I want to give back, and helping people prepare for retirement, whether you're in this community, whether you're an ally, whoever you are, I want to help you. And I want to help you based on your individual situation and circumstances, make improvements in your situation so that you can have the retirement that you deserve. And that is one that you can take pride in. All right. So that is that. And a great quote there, serving as a little springboard into our conversations from Megan Rapinoe. And we really appreciate that and those words and hope that she does continue to speak out on behalf of our community. Well, an update first as we get started here on some news from Social Security and Medicare. That whole world, you know, there are still some big funding challenges, right, from the world of Medicare and from the world of Social Security. But the timeline to replenish Social Security is actually being extended because the Federal Retirement Program said recently here that it may not need to cut benefits until 2035. That is 1 year later than previously forecast. And that's due to stronger performance by the U.S., economically speaking, and some other circumstances that we'll go into. The new projection from the Social Security Board of Trustees annual report is good news for 70 million beneficiaries, according to Martin O'Malley, who's the commissioner of Social Security. He's urging Congress, though, to still take steps to shore up the program and ensure that it can pay full benefits into the foreseeable future. And, you know, even if the trust funds are depleted, the program's still going to have revenue from payroll taxes. So benefits will still go out, but they'll be reduced if nothing changes. Now, Congress could fix the problem by raising the taxes that support Social Security, reducing the level of benefits, or some combination of the two, which would not be all that great. But some changes do need to happen, of course, because, you know, it's something that we pay into. And our payroll taxes support Social Security and have paid into the trust fund for years and years and years. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a promise that this country has made to all of us that it's going to be there. So it had better be there. And so Congress and the folks in Washington really do need to step up and make sure that it is shored up for the foreseeable future. 75% of adults ages 50 and up believe that Social Security will run out in their lifetime, though. That's according to a nationwide Retirement Institute survey from 2023. Couple of things while we're on the subject of Social Security here. One of them, if you want to maximize your Social Security benefit, it could make a lot of sense for you to wait. The longer that you wait to claim Social Security, the more you'll receive, right? So somebody's eligible for, say, $2,000 a month at age 67 may get only $1,400 a month if they claim at age 62. That's according to a Bipartisan Policy Center analysis. Waiting until age 70 would instead provide $2,480 per month. So waiting could be a good thing for you if it makes sense for your particular situation, of course. And there's a lot that goes into making that decision. So we can sit down, we can take a look at your situation and make sure that your plan, you got to have a plan, first of all, but that your plan is going to be what is the most effective for you, makes the most sense for you and for your situation. And retirement experts do agree on the value of delaying Social Security benefits unless there is a personal reason like a lack of income or poor health conditions. And that is something that might, you know, spur the need to start those benefits early. Right. So if you're concerned about Social Security, and I know a lot of people are, about the potential for future cuts and how that could have really, really impact your retirement, I'll provide you with a Social Security maximization report. And it's something that is based on your individual situation. Yeah, well, actually, it's a real thing. And it's based on your individual situation, your individual numbers as we sit down and go through them. Right. So I want to provide you with that plan customized for you and your spouse if you have one as well. And all you have to do to get started along that road is go to the website, takeprideinretirement.com, takeprideinretirement.com, or just give me a call, 855-246-9211, 855-246-9211. All right. So we're talking about the social safety net programs. We also want to talk about Medicare here. It's go broke date. for hospital insurance trust funds. That's Medicare Part A funding, right? It's pushed back 5 years now to 2036 in the latest report. So it's getting five more years of life, according to the latest estimates, thanks in part to higher income from payroll tax deductions and lower than projected expenses for the program. It's, of course, the federal government health insurance program that covers people ages 65 and older and those with severe disabilities or illnesses. Covers more than 66 million people, at least that's the latest number as of last year. Most of them fall into that 65 and older category. And once the fund's reserves become depleted, Medicare would be able to cover only 89% of costs for patient hospital visits, hospice care, nursing home stays, or home health care that follow hospital visits. Now, those are short stays in nursing homes, short bouts of home health care, or, you know, hospice care, obviously, as well, generally speaking, is a short thing also because it's end of life care. But you have to keep in mind, Medicare does not cover long-term care. Medicare does not cover long-term care. You have to have a plan for long-term care. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth in this next segment, but that's just something to keep aware of, that you've got to have a plan for that as well, because Medicare will not cover it. All right. Now, speaking of that, okay, so that whole subject is going to be part of this discussion. It's one that I teed up in the beginning of the show. So there is a U-shaped spending curve in retirement. And what I mean by that is, it starts, your spending starts higher, dips down in the middle of retirement, and then goes back up. Why is that? So it's a U shape, right? It's up, it's down, it's up. Why is that a thing? Well, it's a concept of the way that we age, right? So in the beginning of retirement, those are what we call the go-go years, right? No, you're not becoming a go-go dancer, anything like that. What you're doing is you're going all the time. There's high spending there. So that's the upper part of the beginning of the U shape, right? High spending because you're doing activities. You're taking big trips. You have an active lifestyle because you're able. You're ready and raring to go. That's generally how it works out. So those are the go-go years. Then you go into the slow-go years. So that is when spending goes down as your lifestyle becomes less active, right? So then that is the bottom of the U. But then it starts going back up in the no-go years. The no-go years. Because spending is on the increase due to healthcare and long-term care needs. So the go-go years, you're younger, you're able to go on these big trips, you have an active lifestyle. The slow-go years, the spending slows down as you get less active. But then in the no-go years, you've got health concerns, potentially. You've got needs for long-term care as well. And so the spending goes back up, and perhaps in a very big way. So the question then becomes, how can you maximize your retirement spending potential throughout these phases of retirement? Well, number one, my biggest sort of tip here is to have a smart vision for your retirement. And that is, you know, you want to sort of close your eyes in a way. Sit down, and if you have a spouse, make this discussion something that happens between the two of you as well. But you want to have that smart vision. So you want to sort of sit down, close your eyes. Okay, what am I doing? Who am I spending my time with? Am I taking a lot of vacations? Am I sitting on the front porch sipping a mint julep all day? Am I, you know, spending time with, if I have kids or grandkids, do I spend time with them? Am I just hanging out with friends? Am I going to the movies all the time? What am I doing in my retirement years? That's having that smart vision, right? You need to understand your personal retirement goals and ensure that if you are part of a couple situation, that those are aligned. Those goals are aligned with each other's, right? Manage your expenses as well. So reducing fixed expenses, rather, things like a mortgage or, you know, other big debts, car payment, that sort of thing. Getting rid of those or minimizing those can really provide a lot of flexibility for you financially. And that's especially important during times when there are market downturns. You also want to have an income plan in retirement. Be super careful about withdrawing your assets from, say, your 401k, your 403b, any of those type of plans, whatever your investment portfolio might be. Be very wary of withdrawing any of that too quickly, because that can affect your tax rates and Medicare surcharges, right? So we can help you actually establish an income plan that includes guaranteed lifetime income solutions. TakePrideInRetirement.com. TakePrideInRetirement.com. That's the place to go if you want that information. The other solution here is to delay Social Security, right? So waiting to claim Social Security can significantly increase your monthly payments, as we illustrated earlier, and that provides more income later on in retirement. And then also, here's kind of a biggie, plan for long-term care. You know, consider long-term care insurance or similar products to manage higher costs later on in life. Because without insurance or without some type of plan, saving a significant amount, and I mean significant amount of money, tens of thousands of dollars plus, really, is recommended to cover potential long-term care needs in your retirement years. I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars a year when you have to stay in a nursing home, other type of assisted living facility, and all of that. So, you know, it's really super important that you make sure that you either A, have those funds available, or you have some sort of coverage that's going to pay or help pay for long-term care. That could be a long-term care insurance policy. They're getting to be kind of fewer and farther between these days. Or if you have something like an annuity or a life insurance policy, those types of policies, you can oftentimes find them that have a long-term care rider available as a living benefit. So you could take advantage of that. I can talk to you about it if you call me for that free consultation. It's absolutely free of any cost and any obligation. And I want to help you reach your retirement goals, whether it's saving a bunch of money for long-term care or whether it is, getting some sort of long-term care plan, whatever fits in your budget, whatever you can make happen. Let's make it happen together, because I want to make your retirement as strong as it can be and be one that you can take pride in as well. TakePrideInRetirement.com. That is the website to go, and you can request that complimentary consultation, or you can go to pick up your phone, 855-246-9211, 855-246-9211. All right, now I want to share with you a very important conversation. You know, we're talking about sort of the later on in life kind of time frame here. When speaking of long-term care and things like that, a lot of times people in our community, LGBTQ plus folks, end up being caregivers to our older relatives for many different circumstances, right? And when that happens, what do you do? Because your life becomes so much about them and taking care of them. What do you do to sort of relieve that stress, because it can be very stressful. Trust me, I know. I've been in a situation very much like that, helping take care of my dad when he was very ill a few years ago before he passed away. And there's actually a report that came out. This is according to AARP's Caregiving and Travel 2024 research. Half of adult caregivers have avoided a personal trip with their care recipient due to all of the difficulties involved. You can imagine, right, that it's a very difficult thing when you have to struggle to get them in the car to go to the doctor or something like that. You can imagine, oh, taking a long road trip or getting them on the plane or whatever. That is something that I don't know if I want to have to struggle through. You know, it can be a difficult decision to make, but I actually got a great opportunity here recently to sit down with AARP family caregiving expert Amy Goyer, who says that vacations with your loved ones whom you are taking care of can actually create memories that last a lifetime but you need the right resources and you need know-how to make sure that your travel goes smoothly. So take a listen to this conversation.
I am speaking with Amy Goyer, AARP National Family and Caregiving Expert. Amy, thanks so much for taking some time for me. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I know you all have some new research out that shows that a lot of people who are adult caregivers have avoided taking personal trips with their loved one that they're caring for due to a lot of the difficulties that are involved in just getting around. I know that was the case in my life when my dad was very ill for quite a while. And, you know, it was not the easiest thing, traveling and going places. Talk about, first of all, as we sort of get started here, why it's so important for caregivers and their loved ones to make that effort and actually take trips together.
Well, our survey found that it's actually can have a positive impact both on the caregiver and the care recipient. So about half of family caregivers who have traveled with their loved ones say it improved their emotional well-being. And about a third say it helped their mental clarity. So that really tells us something about what's happening with the caregiver. You know, you're very isolated when you're a caregiver. We know that about 60% of family caregivers have increased stress. And about 40% say, I almost never feel, relaxed ever. It may be that these, getting out, having a change of scenery and having an actual good experience with their loved ones can actually be good for them. And the care recipients, about half of them show an improvement in their mental and emotional well-being as well. So if you look at this need to, maybe go to a family reunion or go to a wedding, having the shared experiences of doing those things, seeing family members you haven't seen in a long time, that can be a real kind of nurture your soul and also just give you a boost that they can talk about and have shared memories for many days to come.
Love that. And yeah, it's important not only for mental health, but of course your mental health affects your physical health too in big, big ways.
Absolutely.
And so what are some tips now that that's sort of the why? Let's cover the how then. How do people actually make this happen?
Right. Well, we do find that about half of family caregivers are, avoiding travel because they're worried about the difficulties. And, we can see that the difficulties might include things like logistical things like seating. About 40% are really worried about the fact that where's my loved one going to sit and rest? They just can't walk that far. Parking. Where are we going to park the car so we can get them out and they can get where they need to go? Logistically, how is that working? And then just things like having a safe hotel room to be in and accessibility. Accessibility is a big one. They spend more money sometimes on making sure they have the accessibility factors. So my first tip is always to do as much planning as you can ahead of time. Think through every day and what's going to happen throughout the day and plan ahead for any eventualities that might come about. It might be if you were traveling by yourself that, you would just go with the flow. But when you're caregiving and you bring a loved one along who's receiving care, you need to be a little bit more planned. It's going to make it easier for you as the caregiver as well as for your loved ones. We can talk about car travel. Majority of folks do travel in cars when they're caregiving, and that involves many hours in a car. So we need to think about the fact that it's going to probably take you twice as long because you're going to stop more frequently. We're going to need to use the restroom facilities more often. You're going to need to find accessible bathrooms, perhaps, or family restrooms where you can go in and help the loved one. Just plan for that, because if you don't, you're just going to be stressed out and frustrated with all the stops. If you plan for it, it's expected. If they just need to get up and stretch, so maybe they have bad joints and they just can't sit that long, that's okay. You plot out where all the rest stops are and get up and walk around a little bit. Bring medications and foods that they're going to need during the day. And, sometimes we remember the medication, but we forget that they need to eat something with that medication. So we need to have that availability as well as, of course, water to take the medications with. If you're planning travel on airplanes. About a third of people fly with their loved ones. And you can contact TSA and get some really good information about what's going to make the whole process easier at security. They have a site called TSA Cares, and they'll have information about if you have a disability or if you're an older adult or any number of things that you can go through to make it easier. And I really recommend getting wheelchair assistance at the airport. Walking through airports is exhausting for anybody. And if you're trying to do luggage and help your loved one walk and they're tired and you're getting tired, if you have someone helping, you know, you can deal with the carry-on luggage while they're pushing the wheelchair. They help you get through security more easily. So it's going to be less exhausting for you and your loved ones that you care for. And think about, you know, seating on the plane, maybe sitting near the restroom, having an aisle seat that you can get out easily, having entertainment for them so the trip goes faster. Maybe they listen to an audio book with headphones on the airplane or in the back seat of the car while you listen to your music in your seat. That can, you know, make the time go faster and be more enjoyable for both of you.
Well, a lot of great, wonderful information there. Before we have to run, though, Amy, where can folks go if they want to learn more, maybe get some more of your tips?
We have great information at aarp.org/travelwithcare. And then for all caregiving issues, you can go to aarp.org/caregiving.
Wonderful. Amy Goyer with AARP. She's a national family caregiving expert there. Amy, thank you so much for spending some time with me and talking about this important issue. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have a bit of a confession to make here as I'm playing some music that I don't normally play here on the show. And that is that my husband and I love Wheel of Fortune. We pretty much watch it every day. We are those people. I used to watch it, like, you know, with my grandmother when I was a kid and all that. And same with Price is Right. I used to watch that with her as well. And great memories of doing that. But we've got Pat Sajak retiring from Wheel of Fortune. So it is a big, kind of a big deal. He's been on our TVs for, you know, 40 years with Wheel of Fortune. His last show aired June 7th, concluding a remarkable run of four decades. And he shared his feelings in a recent interview about his time on Wheel of Fortune that, you know, he really just has good memories about it and said that he's had time to accept the fact that he's stepping aside and he's announced his retirement a year ago. But there's a big cultural impact here. I mean, the show has become a pop culture phenomenon. It's really made a big impact on viewers' lives. And Sajak says he's just very grateful to be part of such a beloved program. And he's looking forward to spending more time with family, doing crossword puzzles, imagine that, and future grandchildren potentially as well. Wheel of Fortune is not going anywhere, though, as a show. It's going to continue on with Ryan Seacrest as the new host. And as much as, you know, I'm like, oh, God, Ryan Seacrest, he's got so many gigs. I actually think that he's going to be great in this role. Just my opinion. And Vanna White is sticking around. I'm like, as long as Vanna White sticks around for a while and we can watch, you know, what's Vanna wearing tonight? Sort of a thing. She's renewed her contract through at least 2026. So there's some continuity there. And just wanted to, you know, take some time to mention Pat Sajak and his remarkable run on Wheel of Fortune and the impact that he has had on a lot of people's lives. Because here's the thing, you know, it really is. You cannot deny the big phenomenon that Wheel of Fortune is. And Pat Sajak's a huge part of that. So I thank him for being a part of mine and my husband's television viewing for the past several years, since we've really been watching the show on a regular basis. And all the best to him in his retirement. And Vanna, keep on trucking and keep on wearing fabulous things. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this time around here on Take Pride in Retirement. Thank you so much for being a part of the show this time around, folks. I, again, cannot thank you enough for taking time to listen to little old me talk about retirement and how to plan for it and how to give yourself a retirement that you can take pride in. That is the entire goal of this show. So I thank you for being a part of things. please do not hesitate to reach out. You can call me 855-246-9211. You can go to takeprideinretirement.com, or you can email me at matt@takeprideinretirement.com. This has been such a great time to spend together this time around here on the show, as it always is. Thanks again for spending it with me. And until next time, take pride in yourselves and take care of each other. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Take Pride in Retirement. Members of the LGBTQ plus community deserve to work with a fiduciary financial advisor who puts their needs first. To schedule a free, no obligation consultation with Matt McClure and the team at Active Wealth Management, call 855-246-9211 or go online to takeprideinretirement.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Active Wealth Management Incorporated are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents.
Matt McClure and Active Wealth Management are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interest of our clients and to make full disclosure of any conflicts of interest, if any exist.
Information provided is not intended as tax or legal advice and should not be relied on as such. You are encouraged to seek tax or legal advice from an independent professional.